Joining us now is our good buddy from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs, Adam Teicher. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vic, how are you doing today?
All right. I guess the better question is how you're doing. I know it has been an extremely tough, tough week for you, for everyone really around that Chiefs team in light of the tragedy involving Javon Belcher and the murder-suicide last weekend. If you can just kind of start with that and you know, the impact of that and how this team just managed to get through it. Had they not won the game, everybody would have understood that last week against Carolina. I guess the fact they win it just kind of adds to this thought of how incredibly resilient, I guess, this team had to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's, they came to work on Saturday morning, you know, for their meetings and their little walkthrough practice, and you know, a lot of them saw what they ran into was a police blockade, and they saw police tape around a crime that is normally around a crime scene. A lot of them had no idea what was going on at the time. They were directed up to the stadium up the hill from their practice facility, and at a team meeting after everybody arrived, Romeo Crennel went up there and told them that one of their teammates had killed his girlfriend and then ended his own life. And, that's a lot for, guys to process. I mean, it's, as you can imagine, there's a million emotions that I certainly try to put myself in their shoes would go through if one of my teammates had done something like this. So, it's there's that, and they had to play a game the next day, and there's a whole story in and of itself, the decision to play the game, but they played and played one of their better games of the season. Certainly gave a great effort, and had a bunch of injuries, particularly on defense, but they persevered and they won their second game of the season. So it's quite remarkable. Now they're but it's not over. The story's still going. I mean, they shifted their practice and meeting schedule today to accommodate the funeral of Javon Belcher. So it's as much as these guys might like to get back to football and concentrate solely on Sunday's game against the Browns, it's just not going to happen for a while.
And that's the thing. I felt a sense just from a long distance away last week of shock, just trying to comprehend it, and there really was no comprehending it. You put it in that incomprehensible category, and I'm sure that was the same for a lot of people throughout the country, if not the world, who were aware of the story as it unfolded. But you go through shock, and now you're trying to put it to the folks who were directly involved as teammates, as coaches, and then go out and play a game, and okay, they did that, and they won their game. But I'm wondering now, often with these things tend to hit you later, and days go by, right? What has been, you're around this team every day, what has been your sense of how this team has kind of reacted as days have unfolded here?
Well, I mean, I think, it wasn't, the Chiefs broke an 8-game losing streak when they won the other day, but it just wasn't the same. Guys freely acknowledged that it just didn't feel right, and Brady Quinn, the quarterback, after the game, he said, it's hard to feel like you could win in a situation like this. And a lot of guys identified with that. It just wasn't the same, even though they played with great effort and great emotion and won a game. It just wasn't the same. And now they're, now it's really the gravity of what's happened is really sinking in. They've returned to a, their normal routine, and they have to walk through the parking lot every day where Javon Belcher ended his own life, and they, particularly the defensive players and the linebackers, they go into a meeting and he's not there anymore, and it's just weird for everybody. And on top of that, there's this the issue of the acts that Javon Belcher committed. I mean, even if you may have known Javon Belcher in a completely different way as a good friend and a good teammate, and now he's gone out and done this. How do you reconcile those two events? He's been a good friend and a good teammate to you, and now he's gone out and committed some unspeakable acts. So I think there's a lot of that going on here, and it's going to take a while for things to get back to normal if they ever do.
For people who know Romeo Crennel, they know him as the the guy who just brings that sage sense, that wisdom, right? That great feel for people, not just football players, but I guess particularly, obviously, because that's been his life's work as a football coach. And I've heard this time and again, Adam, that if anyone was in the best position to handle this the right way as a leader, Romeo was that guy. But that's one thing to do that had he been, say, in his office and away from this or somewhere else, but witnessing it, having it happen right in front of him, in front of Scott Pioli, in front of one of the assistant coaches, and then having to have that burned into his memory, and still go out and keep things as calm as they can do. What does that say about him? And just give me your observations on how Romeo's kind of handled everything that day and going forward.
Well, I mean, it says a lot about him. You know, when the Chiefs fired Todd Haley last year, you know, one of the reasons they did that was he was so volatile, just so up and down and all over the map emotionally and his moods and his things he did. And one of the reasons the Chiefs brought Romeo Crennel in was not for situations like this one, but just, you know, the fact that he was an emotional rock in tough times. And that's one of the things the Chiefs really liked about him. And not that the situation, obviously, I'm not trying to compare the two situations, but, you know, when Romeo Crennel was made the interim coach last year after Haley was fired, you know, the Chiefs had 13-0 Green Bay coming in, and Packers were scoring tons of points on everybody. And, you know, in a time of turmoil for the Chiefs, Romeo Crennel guided them to their best game of the season. You know, they beat the Packers, and, you know, so I you know, again, don't compare the situations because I'm certainly not. But you know, that's the kind of thing he does. I mean, he handles crisis extremely well, and is a, you know, a calm in a boiling sea. I mean, that's just what he does. That's just how he is. And you know, we got another example of it over the weekend.
Adam Teicher, who covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Adam, we'll talk some football. This Chiefs team, obviously, it's a homecoming for several people. We mentioned Romeo Crennel, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, also coached here, and Brady Quinn at quarterback, and Peyton Hillis at running back, all coming back to Cleveland. Does that, do you think, bring any extra juice for this Chiefs team that, again, already has played pretty emotionally in one game? Do you think that could be any kind of factor?
You know, under normal circumstances, it probably would be, just because, you know, the Chiefs are 2-10 and they're looking for stuff to play for, you know. And I think under normal circumstances it might, but right now it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. You know, Brady Quinn's kind of been the emotional leader of the players through all this, and I just don't think he can handle any more on his plate right now as far as that goes. I mean, I think normally he might be a little more excited about going back to Cleveland for the first time since he was traded by the Browns, but I just think right now the Browns are another team to him just because of all these things going on, and maybe it's a little more for Peyton Hillis because of you know, the way he left the Browns and the fact that it was a little more recent, and maybe it's the same way for Brian Daboll. But for, you know, guys like Romeo Crennel and Brady Quinn, I don't really suspect it is that big of a deal, or certainly not as big of a deal as it would have been under normal circumstances for the Chiefs.
This Chiefs offense, mostly defined by its running game, of course, Jamaal Charles and Hillis leading the way with that. But Charles already has a 1,000-yard rushing to go along with the fact that he's third on the team with 30 receptions. So he's productive. But I look at Quinn coming off what I guess would have been his best career game, right? 19 of 23 passing, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Do you think there's a little bit of thought that this Chiefs offense could get some traction here, like you said, regardless of the opponent?
Well, I mean, you know, that was encouraging the other day, but, you know, it's possible it's just one day. You know, you just don't know how this thing's going to go because their offense has been so sluggish, particularly with the passing game all year long. You know, they had turned the ball over through the first half of the season. They had an incredible amount of turnovers. I I want to say it was 31 or 32 turnovers through the first eight games. Now, they've really slowed down the flow of turnovers, just three in the last four games. But, you know, until the Carolina game, they still hadn't been scoring points. So, we'll find out a lot more. I mean, it's hard to say right now what's going to happen, but it's, you know, their success seems so fragile on offense right now because we really saw that for the first time last week. But, you know, the one thing they have been able to do most of the year is run the ball, and, you know, they'll do that. And even though they've been behind most of the time and are 2-10, you know, they're among the league leaders in rushing attempts. That's just what they do. They'll run the ball. So, you know, if the Browns can't stop them, the Chiefs will run it all day long. So, it's probably a key to a lot of teams' offense. But for the Chiefs, everything is built on their running game. It takes pressure off their passing game. They can opens up the play action game, and keeps their defense on the sideline. So, that's obviously the key for the Chiefs on Sunday.
And that defense, I mean, has a couple of pretty effective outside linebackers in Tamahali, Justin Houston, right? And they'll certainly give as much as they can handle to Joe Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz, the Browns' offensive tackles.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs have a fairly a significant pass rush. I mean, it's been muted a little bit because, you know, they're always behind and have to honor the run at all times pretty much this season, but they've done a pretty nice job. I mean, Justin Houston's probably their premier pass rusher at this point, although Tamahali's still doing a nice job. And, you know, they may be underrated. They've been getting a nice job lately, particularly from their two guys in the middle of their pass rush, Tyson Jackson and Dontari Poe. So you know, that's one area where the Chiefs, do some damage on Sunday.
Well, good stuff. Adam, we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Absolutely, Vic. We'll see you then.
He is Adam Teicher. He covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.